Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day, coming to you live on fantalklive.com, broadcasting from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona, which we're currently having a dust storm here. We got on the phone now with Joanne Richards from California. I'm going to read a bio on her quick. She was the executive director of Earth Defense Headquarters, which she'll explain that, a double A in filmmaking, a wife, mother of grown daughter, grandmother of two. She works full-time for the Marin County Bicycle Coalition, and she's a journalist. And her husband, who is currently incarcerated in a prison in California, has degrees in history, political science, and physics. He's a published writer, filmmaker, teacher, husband, father, grandfather. He is fluent in several languages, and he served in the Army and Air Force Special Forces. He's currently incarcerated for a crime he did not commit. Earth Defense Headquarters, which I have here, is an educational nonprofit organization for science, education, and creative arts. Its purpose is to collect and distribute information in the fields of history, science, sustainable living, politics, social issues, modern military history, paranormal phenomena, space, cryptozoology, extraterrestrial science, the environment, magical arts, and otherwise forgotten information. Earth Defense Headquarters shares this information through publications, classes, and films. So we're going to bring on our guest, Joanne Richards, now. Hello, welcome to the show, Joanne.
Hi, Sheldon. How are you?
Okay. Well, if you want to tell us, Joanne, how come your husband is incarcerated?
Well, first of all, let's see. He was convicted for a murder he had nothing to do with. That's the story. That's what they used. But we believe it's because of his military background in military intelligence fields and a lot of top secret information that he knows and still knows that, you know, he's not talking about. But we just feel that they were nervous about what he might reveal in the future, and they wanted to silence him and ruin his reputation. So they framed him for a murder, and he's in jail, prison for the rest of his life. So, there we are. Hello?
Yeah, Joanne?
Yes?
Yeah, go ahead. I just had something very important to do.
It's okay.
What were you talking about?
I was talking about how Mark got framed for murder, and all in the guise of trying to silence him and ruin his reputation, and in the hopes that, you know, he would never talk about anything he was involved in. And one of the things I tell a lot of people is that, I mean, we just started saying anything about any of his involvements, and the reports that we have are about things. They were top secret missions, but they were for UN-backed activities. He has not broken his U.S. secrecy oath, and he won't. And people think he's crazy for not doing so, but he's still loyal to that oath. So, in the meantime, he's still rotting in prison.
And did you tell our audience he was involved in something called the Dulce Wars?
I haven't yet. So, he was involved with a lot of missions that I don't even know about and probably never will. But there's three that I've started talking about. Two I have the complete reports about. One is called the Battle of the China Gates that happened in 1976, which was a battle to thwart an alien invasion. And part of it took place in the Antarctic. Part of it took place in the skies over China. And then in 1977, which I don't have the full report on, there's something coming out about the moon. And then in 1979, in August, he was involved with a battle in a battle called the Battle of Vesta, out by the asteroid Vesta, which was another alien plot to, you know, take over and just wreak havoc. And then after that happened, apparently there was late 1979, I don't have an exact date, there was a battle at the Dulce underground alien base that he was involved in. And it's not that he's really talking about that, but some people I have, and I'm going to read a few quotes from the report I have. We were supplied with a report, and he is actually named in it, but he didn't, you know, write the whole thing. We just compiled it. So, again, he's not breaking his secrecy oath, but the information was provided to us. And it was originally a briefing provided to the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 2001. A lot of the information in that. So he was, you know, I can say that he was there. He was involved with the battle there, and it wasn't pretty. And a lot of nasty things were going on there.
Can you tell our audience exactly what the Dulce Wars is about?
Well, I know that in late 1979, I should probably, like, read. Would it be all right if I read a little bit?
Yeah, how long? Maybe just couple of minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It basically talks about there was a faction within the UFO community, and I'll just try and paraphrase that, that it says that that steadfastly maintains that not only does the U.S. government have proof of the reality of UFOs and their alien occupants, but is already conspiring with aliens. So it goes on to say that the conspiracy operates out of secret installations around the world. One of them was, you know, close to this tiny town in New Mexico called Dulce. And, let's see, it says men, women, and children were used as lab rats for experiments in genetics and the development of mind control techniques and interspecies breeding. And the sad thing is, our government, the elite New World Order part of the government, they allowed it to happen. And in order to, like, avoid war and in order to trade for alien technology. And I can say that, let's see, the categories, the chapters in this report, there's an introduction, then it talks about the different kinds of aliens that were there, because there were four different species or races that were named, Reptoids, Greys, Nordics, and Dracos. It talks about the human victims, it talks about the mind manipulation experiments, and then it talks about the battle. And I've only read this once, so I'm not an expert on it because, you know, that's not my job. But I know that there were teams that went in, and I think primarily they were supposed to, like, try and rescue as many humans as they could, destroy the base, that kind of stuff. And it was way more involved and horrific than, you know, I think my husband was even expecting, and he's seen a lot of horrible stuff. But it says,
does it say anything in the report about 66 of our military being killed in that conflict?
I'd have to read through that section again.
Because that's the popular number on the internet, that 66
oh, really?
Were killed, yeah.
Well, I do have a list of a couple of, some important names that might ring a bell. It does say that in 1979, when they had this battle, pretty much to the greatest extent, the base was destroyed or flooded, and that's why a lot of people aren't finding traces of a base being there. It says major portions of the base were blown up or flooded, and NSA cleanup crews had long ago covered or hidden any sign on the surface of air or water intakes. So, for the most part, they made it very difficult to anybody go back and find traces that there was even a base there.
Does it say anything in the report about our own government working with these ETs underground there?
I think it does. And again, I don't have the details of the report memorized because that's not my job. My job is more like the publisher and the, you know, the person to get out the information. And I probably should have read this, but the report I have is like 166 pages. So,
is it available on the internet?
It's available. My website's not ready yet, but it's available. I mean, I do have my newspaper, which has an order form in it, which I'm happy to send people samples of so they can have the order form. It is available for sale. It's $20, and if you're listening to the show and you tell me that, I'd be happy to sell it to you for $15. And it does. It actually has a few pictures of what some of the aliens would have looked like, and it gives a list of some of the players. There was a combat assault team. There was a filter attack team, material acquisition team. International Security is the UN-based, like, top-secret military intelligence, military arm, I would say, that there used to be in the UN. Victim assistance team and a cleanup team. And some of the people that were involved, CIA officer William Cooper, who's now dead, he's mentioned in here, Colonel Donlan, David Griggs, who was an astronaut, he's now dead. He didn't die there, though. Captain W.R. Leathers, Ron McNair, who was also an astronaut, he died in one of the shuttle accidents. Colonel Onizuka, or
Ellison Onizuka, he was on the Challenger flight too.
Yeah, he was part of this battle.
Wow.
Part of this operation. My father-in-law was involved. He was a commander-in-chief of the mission. My husband was involved. He was the commander of the combat assault team. And those are some of the big names. And interestingly enough, Onizuka and... Where's the other guy? Onizuka and...
Ron McNair
and David Griggs were all also on the Battle of Vesta mission that my husband, they'd been on, like, just a few months before this happened. So...
That's one thing I did talk about at the beginning of my show. I read an article about by Dr. Richard Boylan about the secret astronaut program.
By Richard Dolan?
By Richard Boylan.
Oh, Boylan. No, yeah. I know Richard Dolan.
Oh.
Go ahead.
And these astronauts, they train out of a facility located east of Colorado Springs, and they routinely go out into space from locations like Vandenberg Air Force Base, Beale Air Force Base, and Kings Peak, Utah.
Thank you very much. it's interesting that you would bring that up, because one of my friends was listening to Coast the other night, and John Lear, the son of, you know, the Lear Jet founder.
Yeah, I listened
founder.
To that show.
Okay,
uh-huh.
I missed it, unfortunately. But I guess he was talking about this as well. And
he
like,
was.
Oh, wow. Sounds like what my husband was doing. I can say that at least on some of these missions, I mean, he was a space pilot. He did go out into space and, you know, fly things and battle things. So I would say, yes, I believe that. And we've often talked on, like, if you look at things that get launched from Vandenberg nowadays that are supposedly satellites. Our satellites are getting smaller, but yet the payloads on the, you know, what are being launched from Vandenberg are huge. So you could easily fit people in them. And I'm glad to hear that more people are talking about that, because it's like, oh, good.
Where are you located in California again?
Pardon me?
We're in
Where
California.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm in Marin County, which is just north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my father-in-law was stationed at Hamilton Air Force Base for many years, and apparently that was like the top base on the West Coast for like investigating UFO things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's, and he was, and a little bit of background is, my father-in-law was a career Air Force officer, and he was highly involved with military intelligence right out of World War II, basically. So my husband just kind of grew up with that in his blood and just followed suit. But, you know, he wanted to retire, and I think that made them very nervous, and here he is now, stuck where he is, and he's been there for over 20 years.
How old would he be today?
Well, he is 52. Oh, you mean my father-in-law? Or
your
my husband?
Your husband?
My husband's 52.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's 52. He got arrested when he was 29.
Well... And they framed him for committing a murder that he didn't commit?
Yeah, they said he masterminded a murder of a guy, a friend of his, actually, who was, he was doing some remodel, Mark was doing some remodeling for him, and Mark always had, you know, like, I don't want to call them punk kids, but wayward young men that he would hire as day laborers and stuff. And one of them actually did do the murder, but they decided to pin it on Mark and say that he masterminded the whole thing, supposedly because the guy owed him money. And the guy did owe him money, but Mark wouldn't have killed him just because the guy owed him money. And they said Mark masterminded that, so Mark got convicted of first-degree murder, and his sentence is life without the possibility of parole. The other kid who actually did the murder but never testified against him has like a 25-to-life sentence. The other kid who did testify against him, who actually did not see Mark, you know, at, he was just doing hearsay testimony, he got full immunity. So it's all very crazy, a lot of loopholes. I don't know how he ever got convicted, but he did.
Has he ever been put on any kind of like psychiatric type medications while he's been incarcerated?
Not to my knowledge.
Because there's a story out there that's kind of old now. It has to do with a lady by the name of Krista Tilton. She was one of the original abductees that broke the story about the underground base near Dulce.
Uh-huh.
And me and my friend in Wisconsin used to talk to her, and then back in the late 90s, we never heard from her again. The last my friend heard from her, they had put her on like 12 or 13 kinds of psychiatric medications, and I think that was to shut her up about the Dulce facility existence.
Huh. Well, and like I said, it's not like my husband has been talking about all this stuff for all these years, because he hasn't. And he's never really talked about the Dulce thing. Somebody, two or three sources, I think, provided him with reports, and we put it together, but it's not like he, you know, is spilling the guts about what happened. We're walking, I think, a fine line just talking about these other couple of missions, because, you know, people don't really want us talking about it. And it's not covered by the U.S., so they can't say he's committing a crime there, but it's still kind of risky. And like I was teasing you the other day when, you know, we couldn't talk on Sunday, it's like, well, somebody doesn't want me talking on your show, obviously.
No, what happened, Tammy, was my producer didn't have access to the Internet to do the show on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
But it always, see, my phone, I know my phone's been tapped before. I know in the early years when I first met Mark and started doing research for him, all of a sudden I couldn't print something, or I would have little computer problems. And, you know, you'd be amazed at how they can do stuff and get you.
Well, I do believe that. There was another guy by the name of Phil Schneider that was involved in the underground.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, and he was murdered back in the 80s.
I believe it. Most of the people that were involved with my husband in different missions now, most of them are dead, and many of them, and maybe they weren't involved with, you know, the same missions he was, but many of them that did similar work are either dead or in prison. But like the three that I rattled off their names that were also on this Dulce list and that were in his Vesta mission, they're all dead. And some of them were like in shuttle accidents, and one was, I don't know if it was a car accident or a boat accident, but, you know, plane accidents happen, car accidents happen, heart attacks happen, and they're not all natural. And they aren't just, you know, a malfunction of the shuttle or whatever reason they want to give you. I'm sure that a lot of these things happen, because they don't want the people alive anymore. Nothing surprises me. The more research I do for Mark, the more nothing surprises me anymore. So it's amazing, because I've been doing, and part of what we're working on is like this voluminous piece of work he's working on. He's been working on it for years. It's like his family history, but also like all the world events tied together. And it's called the Knights of the Cold War, as in, you know, like the Knights with a K. So it's growing up in the Cold War and working and fighting in the Cold War and being involved with that, but all the other little things that maybe people didn't think about and how they're tied together, and just a lot of history that you're not going to find in your textbooks, and your teachers aren't going to tell you, and the mainstream media isn't going to tell you. You know, that's basically what Earth Defense Headquarters is about, stuff that you aren't going to find in all the ordinary places. And, you know, there we have. And you can tell I'm getting very excited. I love doing the research, because a lot of times, and it's not like I know about all these missions, but I will often research, like, the dates and the biographies of these people and what happened to them, and just some of the little background details to help him fill in, you know, some of the interesting stuff, because he knows the people, he knew them in the military, he would know what, you know, some of the missions were, just some of the activities or the world history, but then we fill it in with the humanistic part and, you know, make these people just seem more real, because you find out, you know, where they were born, where they were raised, you know, where they went to school, blah, 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 so it just kind of is a rounded, more rounded picture of a lot of the people involved, so it's quite a history lesson. Plus, a lot of the things he writes about, he also fills in all the science behind it. So you'll pick up, and I never took a physics class in my life, but now after reading, like, the third report, it's like, oh, some of this is making sense now. Because he'll write about all this physics and all this science just involved with being out in space, and that, you know, you might not think about, and that you need to think about if you're going to be out there, but... and it kind of ties it all together, and so you're getting this huge education besides the adventure of the mission. It's very fascinating to me, obviously.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of interconnectedness between all this stuff, and the research is just abundant, folks, on the Internet. If you're willing to do your own research, you'd be absolutely surprised.
Exactly.
And don't ever attack the messenger, because, famous quote from Albert Einstein, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Exactly. And it's interesting, because Mark often remarks that he is surprised, because sometimes I look on the Internet just, you know, to provide him, you know, because he's not sure, like, what's out there already, what are people talking about, you know, how much is getting leaked, for example. And sometimes the information is pretty accurate, and sometimes people still don't have it quite right, but, you know, they might be on the right track. So it's good that people, the whole point is people need to ask questions. One of my writers, just to sidetrack for a minute, one of my writers that I have a booklet of his stuff, his name's Taylor Winsett, he investigates a lot of paranormal and UFO type stuff and weird stuff the government might be into. He has this, anyway, he's got lots of electronic equipment, high-end electronic equipment, and he'll go to different government installations and set stuff up just to see, you know, he's seen UFOs and he gets weird readings and sees a lot of weird stuff. So I have several stories that he's put together, and it's, you know, it's amazing what's out there if you've got the guts to go check it out.
Exactly. I think he was a guest on Coast to Coast one night, wasn't he?
He's in federal prison.
Oh.
So at the moment, so he hasn't been on Coast to Coast lately, but I'm sure as soon as he gets out next year, he probably will be. But he's another one. It's like they charged him with a firearms charge, but, you know, I tease him. It's like, I'm sure that you've just ticked off enough people that they found some way to, you know, get you out of the scene for a few years. So he used to be like, I don't know if he was head of security, but I think he had a lot to do with, like, security over in Nepal for, like, 17 years. He worked out of Nepal for 17 years for security and stuff. So he's another gutsy guy who goes and checks stuff out and is not afraid to say, you know, check this out, look at this. And, you know, he doesn't always have the definitive answers of what might be going on, but he has a lot of information about what the weird stuff is that he's seen. You know, the government is like, what are they up to? Who knows?
Did you want to give out your email address, by the way?
I would love to. It's ecochicks, E-C-O-C-H-I-C-K-S, chicks at yahoo.com. And if any of you are going to be in California Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be having a booth at the Conspiracy Con conference in Santa Clara at the, used to be called the Westin Hotel. It's either Embassy or the Hyatt. I think it's the Hyatt Regency now. But it's right near Great America on Great America Parkway. And then in October of 2007, I've been invited to speak at a UFO expo in England. So that's very exciting. That's called the Probe UK Conference. So it's all very exciting.
Yeah, and they have some pretty good speakers there, folks. I would highly recommend going to one of those conspiracy conferences. I've never been to one, never could afford it, but I would recommend it.
I haven't been to one of the conspiracy conferences. I've been to the last two, the Bay Area UFO Expo. It's at the same place. The first year I just went and listened and interviewed people, and last year I had a booth. And last fall is when I first, you know, started putting out a lot of these reports. And people were very receptive, so I think I'm, you know, on to very interested in what we had to say, because I'm coming at it from more of a historical, military, you know, here's what the military was doing type of thing that you're not going to hear about, and not too many people are coming from that perspective. So.
How long was your husband in the military before the Dulce Wars happened?
He did a lot of stuff before, you know, like even when he was in high school, he did some work for Lockheed and things like that, but that wasn't necessarily military service. He signed up for the Army right out of high school, so really early 70s, went to Vietnam, did his time there, and then came back and pretty much, I think he got his college degrees out of the way, but he was also going off and doing missions while he was doing his college work. So early 70s, he was starting with the Air Force Special Forces, and the really intensive part was, I think, like 76 to 82, and then 82 is when he wanted to get out, and that's when they arrested him.
I can't wait to hear this new report that'll come out eventually about him being involved in a mission to the moon, you said?
It's called the Battle of the Harvest Moon, and there are vague references to it in a few places. You can actually pull up a couple little references to it on the internet. There's a Dr. Beter.
Yeah, I mentioned his name tonight before I brought you on.
Oh, good, good. Well, he has actually mentioned a few things. Some of his stuff is not quite accurate. He thinks that the Russians actually attacked our stuff, and actually it was aliens that attacked. We actually had a base on the moon. We'd actually been going to the moon long before.
Since 1962, according to John Lear.
Yes, no doubt. Actually, we were going there before that. So,
Dr. Peter Beter is no longer alive, by the way, folks.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know. But his was the first reference I'd ever seen about the moon stuff. But we did have a base on the moon. It was destroyed by aliens. There was a battle out there, and we actually lost that battle. We won the Vesta battle, we won the China Gates battle, and we, like I said, pretty much destroyed the base at the Dulce base.
You know, it's pretty interesting. A lot of these people that really have the information about these secret bases on the moon and Mars are either been murdered or are no longer alive. And well, Bill Cooper was one of the ones that talked about the bases on the moon and Mars. He's no longer alive.
Right.
Then you got Alex Collier, but it's impossible to locate that guy.
Wow.
And then there's Vladimir Terzisky, who lives in the Los Angeles area. I always try to get a hold of him. He's got information on that stuff, but I always get his voicemail when I call him.
Oh. It's tough because the government that we have now, I mean, the New World Order, and I know one of the talks at the Conspiracy Con, they're going to call them the Old World Order. I mean, they've been, you know, working up to all this stuff for years and years, because back in the 70s, I mean, the elite, secret elite groups have been around for a long time, but when my husband, you know, was at the height of his military career, they knew all about, you know, the New World Order and their plans and what they wanted to do, and they're selling us out. You know, the plan is, they're selling, you know, they want alien technology. That's cool. They think, it's hard to talk about it, but, you know, the aliens don't necessarily want to destroy the Earth, because some of them, you know, we have a lot of good resources. Some of them would probably want to use it as a vacation spot, but we have people that can be used for breeding and food. So our, you know, hence you have many, 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 many thousands of women and children disappearing without a trace. So
yeah, I had a friend that watched a documentary on TV, and he said there's 600,000 missing children every year in the U.S.
Yeah, and they're not all kidnapped by sexual predators. Well, I guess they are, but they're not all kidnapped by humans. And, like, for example, in our China Gate story, there were enemy alien ships that had already scooped up, like at least six of them that had scooped up all these humans that they were going to take back out into space, because it was like a slave trade business, and they would sell them to other aliens. And a lot of those people got killed, you know, while we were trying to ward off the aliens, but they had to destroy the gate that they were coming through. They were coming through a dimensional gate, so they had to destroy that, and part of unfortunately the backlash of that was these ships with the humans on them. They, you know, they were not able to rescue them. But this is where a lot of our people are going. And if you look, and I don't know if you watch any of the TV shows called Invasion or Surface or
no.
Okay, well, Invasion is just it's about these, you know, aliens who have come in the under the guise of hurricanes. So, and that show started like right after Katrina happened. And if you look at the tsunamis and the hurricanes, a lot of weird stuff can happen under the disguise of a natural disaster. And a lot of times earthquakes are not caused by, I mean, they can be helped along or started by man-made or alien technology, tectonic weapons. And
right.
That's all in several of these reports I have.
Yeah, yeah, I talked about earthquake weapons on my show already, yeah.
Oh, good. Well,
just for a heads up, we got 1 minute left.
Okay.
Just to wrap it up quick, what percentage of the ET races that are visiting us do you think are negatively oriented?
Oh, that's, I don't know a percentage, but several of them are. I know there are some friendly ones, you know, there are friendly ones, but there are a lot that have evil intentions. I would say it's a higher percentage of the ones that have evil intentions.
Oh, really? Well,
I would say that. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the expert. I'm just running the nonprofit and doing the publishing. But, you know, that's my feeling. There are more of them that would rather harm us. You know, they don't have our best interest at heart. So,
interesting perspective, because the other guest said most of them are positively oriented.
Well, I'm, like I said, I'm not an expert. From what I've learned, I wouldn't necessarily agree, but, you know, I don't know how many species there are out there, but I've so far only heard about a few that are friendly, so, and I've heard about several that are awful.
Really?
Yeah.
We're out of time. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll bring you back sometime.
Oh, that'd be great.
And you want to give out your email address one more time?
EcoChicks, ECOCHICKS @yahoo.com.
Okay, and well, thanks for coming on the show today, Joanne.
Thank you, Sheldon. It's been delightful.
Talk to you again sometime.
Okay.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay, folks, that's the end of the show. How to time Christmas.